This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump is set to make an announcement today on autism. The Washington Post reports the administration is going to link Tylenol use during pregnancy to the development of autism. Tylenol's manufacturer says science shows this is not true. Autism expert at the University of Pennsylvania, David Mandel, says,
I'm very concerned that women who experience fevers will elect not to treat that fever because we know the fever is associated with poor child outcomes.
Tens of thousands of people, including President Trump, Vice President J.D. Vance, and a number of cabinet members attended the public memorial for Charlie Kirk in Arizona. The widow of the slain conservative activist said she forgives her husband's killer because it's what Charlie would have done. The San Francisco Bay Area was shaken awake by a magnitude 4.4 earthquake in Berkeley this morning. No reports of damage or injuries. And the 80th United Nations General Assembly opens today. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX. La Crosse is home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
An expanded data center is coming to Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
16 months ago, President Biden was in office campaigning in Racine County, with Microsoft announcing a $3.3 billion investment. Now Microsoft is making another bet on Wisconsin, announcing an additional $4 billion expansion of its Mount Pleasant data center campus. The move brings the company's total investment in the state to more than $7 billion. In a statement, Governor Tony Evers calls it a major boost for jobs and technology growth. During the campaign event last year, Microsoft Vice Chairman and President Brad Smith, who called Racine County home as a child, talked about the statewide impact of the initial spend.
We are creating manufacturing jobs across the state of Wisconsin. As we get steel from near Wausau, as we get chillers from La Crosse, as we get generators from near Madison, this is literally creating jobs across the state of Wisconsin.
Microsoft says the project will support nearly 10,000 jobs, with a caveat of those taking place during peak seasons. Environmental concerns still hang over the project as water use and energy demands remain hot topics. One lawsuit recently pushed the city of Racine to reveal that the data center campus could use 8.4 million gallons of water a year. That estimate does have the city of Racine falling within approved lake limits. Environmental groups also warned about the power needs. They say the Microsoft project and another in Port Washington could call for more power than every home in Wisconsin combined. A separate proposed data center in Caledonia in Racine County is also facing local pushback over farmland lost and rezoning questions. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now from your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers do it again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers are divisional champs of the NL Central. Although they lost yesterday 5-1 to the Cards, the Reds swept the Cubs, so Milwaukee, divisional champs for a third year in a row. Manager Pat Murphy.
Well, just this team finds a way. They're resilient, and they're guys that have a special it factor.
NFL, the Packers shocked by the Browns, losing 13-10 on a walk-off field goal by Cleveland. Defensive end Micah Parsons.
Man, it's like a movie sometimes how football works. I just think towards the end of the game they play better than us, and we got to play all four quarters of football.
College football, the Badgers losing at home to Maryland Saturday, 27-10, and now headed into the bye.
We've got a challenge. I felt like the culture of this team and the things that we did in the offseason and in fall camp was something that was a lot stronger than what we have had. We're going to find out how strong it is. That's where we're going to have to go because this thing doesn't get any easier.
That's head coach Luke Fickell with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some patchy fog possible early, otherwise more clouds than sun, with an isolated shower or storm possible late in the afternoon, highs in the mid-70s. Again tonight, an isolated shower or storm, otherwise mostly cloudy, a mild night with lows near 60. Right now, it's 64 degrees.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman Program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local civic media radio station.
Oh, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local civic media radio station.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, if you love Just a Bit Outside, the film about the Brewers, you're going to love the new film about Wisconsin sports from Sean Hamish and Paul Jaconi Berry. They're here next time with their exclusive announcement. Don't miss it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Monday morning, September 22nd, 2025. Another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or joining us through social media, podcast, however you got here. Great to have you starting your week right here. I got a question for you. What will you do with your final 7 hours of summer? Because we have just about run out of summertime. Fall officially begins at 1:19 this afternoon, our time, when the sun is right over the equator. Though, let's be honest, it already feels like fall for multiple reasons. Well, the Packers are playing, which sometimes breaks our heart. The Badgers are playing, meh. And the Brewers are playing fall baseball once again, which is pretty cool. So we're leaving summer behind. And so let me ask the question another way. What is the best part of fall in Wisconsin? What's your favorite thing about being here? What's your favorite thing to do? Do you go someplace in particular to see fall colors? Is it about getting to high school football games? Is it some favorite sweatshirts or jackets that you can pull out again? What is it that you like most? We'd love to hear from you about fall in Wisconsin and what makes it so nice. You can put questions or comments to the show all the time, of course, on Facebook and YouTube. That would be the Up North News Facebook or YouTube pages, and the Civic Media Facebook or YouTube pages, or use that Civic Media app and either send us a text message or use the voice note feature and send along a little something about what's so great about fall in Wisconsin. Coming up on the program later today, Kelda Royce has been a candidate for governor for 1 week. She will join us at 7:35 to talk about why she's running and what she thinks will make her stand out from a growing group of Democrats seeking to be the nominee next year to try to succeed Tony Evers and keep Republicans from taking over the governor's post. You can follow Up North News by getting our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner. One of the stories today tells you about Wisconsin businesses that are staffed by people living with disabilities. Overall, Wisconsin is coming off back-to-back years of record-high employment rates for workers with disabilities. But keep in mind, that's made possible in large part due to the assistance that people get from Medicaid for healthcare, therapy, vocational training, and more. And yet, Donald Trump and Republicans have decided to take a meat cleaver to Medicaid. So while you're reading that story in the newsletter today, also get set to hear just after 7 o'clock from Up North News' Selena Heller. And she'll tell you about a Wisconsin mom talking about her adult son and the assistance that Medicaid provides in order to give him some dignity and independence until people like Donald Trump come along who find him to be disposable. Also back in the newsletter, we've got a link to my story on the current gubernatorial field as we await decisions by Democratic Attorney General Josh Call and Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany. And Tiffany hinting that he may make an announcement on Wednesday of this week. Lot to cover here, so we should ask Parker Olson what he thinks of all of it, since he's producing this wonderful shindig down in Madison at the top of State Street, one block off the Capitol Square, at the world headquarters of Civic Media. Mr. Parker, how are you?
Doing pretty well, Pat. I'm feeling pretty good. I have worked pretty hard to flush two awful losses on the weekend. That's where I'm at.
The Packers and the Badgers, I assume.
Packers and the Badgers. You know, I watched all of the Packer game. Mind you, my uncle is a Browns fan.
Yes.
I have yet to hear a lot from him, which is very good, because I don't need to hear a lot more about that game, I don't.
Well, I mean, what can you really say, right? I mean,
yeah, you know,
for folks who missed it, the Packers were up. I mean, it wasn't a rout or anything like that, but with 3 minutes left, the Packers are up on the Cleveland Browns 10-3, and they're driving. I mean, it started at about 6 minutes left in the game. So all you got to do is run out the clock.
Yeah.
Emphasis on the word run.
Yeah.
Run out the clock.
Yeah.
There's some dumb penalties in there. And then Jordan Love, I get it. It was third down, right? So, you know, felt the need to throw. Don't know why. You've been handing it to Josh Jacobs the entire game. Yeah, he throws. He says it's miscommunication with Dontavian Wicks. I'm just saying, why are you throwing on third down like that? And as ugly as it was, the Browns intercept. They score. It's 10-10 now. Still time left. But a field goal attempt with 27 seconds left is blocked. Couple of Browns plays later, they try a 55-yard field goal, and it is good, and they win 13-10. Now, you can also blame the offensive line. That, I mean, Jordan Love was sacked, what, five times?
They've got a couple of backups in there.
All kinds of offensive line injuries, I get that. You know, both defenses were very good for this game. And let's see, Tony putting on YouTube, Cleveland's strength is its defensive line. The Packers' weakness is its offensive line.
Yeah.
It was just a bad matchup.
Yeah. Here, the thing for me is that the Packers are good, are due for about two of these kinds of losses every year. So I'm not like raising alarm bells or anything. It's just really frustrating to see it happen really repeatedly under Matt LaFleur, because frankly, it seems like a coaching thing, because it seems like the entire team was sleepwalking through that entire game.
It was boring.
Like, it
was boring. We had already planned to go see a movie. Yeah. So we did not, I did not see the very end of it. And
congratulations.
Yes. Thank you very much. That's all Sherry's doing. She's like, it is too early in the season to be sitting down for 3 hours straight, watching a game, sitting on a bar stool. The Brewers are still playing, and so it's tough to get into full Packer mode yet. Fair. It's a nice day out, and so let's go do that. And I was like, yeah, I'm good with that. Yeah. So we saw this movie called A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey with Colin Farrell and Margot Robbie. Okay. You know, complete rom-com, kind of a fantasy rom-com. We'll talk about it later on, but especially I've got a story about losing something under the seats in a movie theater that you finish your breakfast first before I share the story, trust me. Anyway, so I missed the very end, and I'm very happy about that, because I did see that the Packers had like six and a half minutes left. I'm just like, good, just run it out, we'll be just fine.
Yeah.
And you know as well as I do, we've both said this before, it's one of those games where it's like, well, If they screw up this one, I don't want to be around to see it.
Yep.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So
anyway, so
the Packers move on. They will be in Dallas, and that'll be a Sunday night football game next week.
Oh, boy.
So you'll be able to hear that Sunday night game, and you'll be able to hear us sound especially sleep deprived tomorrow or next Monday morning, next week when we're doing this.
You thought the Packers were sleepwalking yesterday? Wait till next Monday when we're sleepwalking through this show.
Badgers, I mean, you can't even say it was sleepwalking. They were just trounced by Maryland 27-10. The score was 20-0 at halftime, with the student section chanting fire fickle. Wisconsin is now 15 wins and 15 losses in Luke Fickell's coaching tenure. They have lost seven in a row now against opponents from the Big Four conferences. The student section, by the way, was virtually empty midway through the fourth quarter.
Oh, the stadium was empty.
You could, yeah, I mean, and you can't even accuse the fans of being bandwagoners if you're going to play like that. No. The game was billed before the season started as a chance for Wisconsin quarterback and Maryland transfer Billy Edwards Jr. to face his former team, but Edwards hadn't played since he sprained his knee in the season opener. And so Danny O'Neill threw an interception and was working behind an offensive line featuring three redshirt freshmen. So once again, the offensive line was not your friend. So the Badgers have next weekend off. And then, as we've mentioned before, the October schedule has the Badgers visiting Michigan, ranked 21st in the country, hosting Iowa, hosting number one Ohio State, and then traveling to sixth-ranked Oregon. So no need to watch those games. You put them on your favorite Civic Media station and you keep some nice football on in the background, because that's what makes fall in Wisconsin great. Tony puts up on YouTube chopping some wood with a nice breeze off the lake while wearing flannel, sipping a spotted cow while listening to a football game on the radio. Nothing better than that. Amen, Tony. Yeah. That's fall in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But at least there's still baseball. Roger puts on Facebook from Stevens Point, "I never expected the Reds to sweep the Cubs. The Reds may still be in the wild card when they play the Brewers this coming weekend." Yes, the Brewers will be playing Cincinnati in the final homestand of the season later this week. But first, they had to get through the series with the Cardinals. And I believe the Cardinals took two out of three.
Yes, two out of three.
And yet, even after the Brewers lost 5-1, minutes later, after that Cubs loss, the Brewers became your Central Division champions for the third year in a row. So playoff baseball is set, and we're very close. I don't have the magic number in front of me to clinching that first round bye.
I believe four. I think they already have a first round bye. It's just that they're fighting.
Oh, now it's for home field.
For home field for the entirety. They have to stay ahead of the Phillies to get home field throughout NL and World Series if they were to get there.
So there are still things to play for this week, which I always like. It's like, look, you can't just be dogging it yet. There's still things to play for. Yeah. And for the Brewers, that includes heading to San Diego to play the Padres Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Coverage begins this evening at 8:05 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward. So a little West Coast late night baseball for the Brewers for three games, then an off day, and then they're back here for the final homestand against the Cincinnati Reds. Freddie Peralta, by the way, is doing the pitching tonight. So there we go. We've got some things to play for, thankfully.
Yeah, and hopefully Brandon Woodruff.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Why did you?
I'm sorry. I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
No. I'll be the bearer. Here it is. Brandon Woodford, Big Woo, is out for 15 days. He was put on the injured list yesterday, putting his availability for the playoffs in jeopardy. Woodruff just returned this season after a shoulder surgery in October of 2023. He says he felt something funny in his tricep during a bullpen session on Saturday. An initial evaluation traced the issue to a lat in his upper back. And the news, of course, comes just 4 days after left-handed pitcher Jose Quintana went on the 15-day injured list with a left calf strain. So the Brewers have pitching injuries heading into the playoffs. In other news, the sun rose in the east today. So,
you know the meme of the dog sitting on a chair
sitting and with the fire all around,
yeah,
saying,
that's,
this is fine.
That's just how I feel. Yeah everything's
that's
okay fine
that's
fine
exactly Dad. Where we are. Yes, we will continue to look forward to throughout the course of the morning, even despite the things we say about the Packers, the Badgers, and the Brewers, what's great about being in Wisconsin during the fall, because there's a lot that's cool around here, and I'd love to hear what you like to do as we start to celebrate what will eventually be this first day of fall all across our beautiful state. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
My problem is I don't ever eat fish fries, so when I do it, I overdo it. I ordered a large perch, ate everything on my plate, and I felt like I wanted to die. And now I don't want to eat fish again, maybe ever.
I know it's a staple to get breaded fish, but if you don't get the bread on it, you know, you can kind of get away with eating more.
I'm not trying to gain weight for football here. I'm like, I just want to have a nice meal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you're a fan of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on the radio, well, let me suggest Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow in your newsletter email box. It's a newsletter we put together with Wisconsin and national political stories that comes out early every Sunday morning. It also includes our question of the week. And this week, the question is, who's to blame if there's another government shutdown? Now, there hasn't been one for a while. They keep kicking the can down the road with these things called continuing resolutions. But it's really starting to look like the middle of next week, there may be a government shutdown. For reasons that are explained in the newsletter. So who's to blame? Is it Republicans because they stubbornly don't want to negotiate with Democrats, even though they need Democratic votes to pass a budget? Is it Democrats who should let the Republicans have their way because Republicans are in the majority and they shouldn't be an obstacle? Is it Donald Trump because Mr. Art of the Deal should be able to forge some kind of a deal here? What do you think? The people that get to answer that first and see the question first, sign up for our question of the week. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com and hit subscribe to get our newsletters. You know who else has newsletters? Civic Media, including a new flagship daily newsletter, Civic Media Today. Get signed up for that. Head over to substack.com. The address for the newsletter is civicmediatoday.substack.com. Again, Civic Media Today. Substack.com. Tomorrow on the program, Hans Breitenmoser will be along, Cam Stevenson from Washington, D.C., Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be coming up next. Selena Heller not far after that, adding some levity to the program. But before we get to the levity, well, a little bit of seriousness in the news, at least from the standpoint of a political rally that was held yesterday in Phoenix. It was a five-hour rally. Well, I mean, it was billed as a memorial to Charlie Kirk, the right-wing agitator. It was held inside an NFL football stadium, and it featured pretty much every prominent MAGA leader in the country was there. Never have I been so connected to Donald Trump's three favorite words, build that wall. I mean, give away Phoenix, keep everybody there, heal the rest of the country. But it didn't work that way. And the country will not heal based on anything that was said in Phoenix yesterday. Yes, Kirk was eulogized as someone who loved his family and claimed to love his country. And yes, Charlie Kirk's widow did say she forgave her husband's killer. She said, quote, "The answer to hate is not hate." That is not the message that people are taking away from the Hollywood level production that went on, especially when the president of the United States took to the stage and gave a rambling 45-minute diatribe that contained this nugget. I hate my opponents and I don't want what's best for them. Sorry, Erica. It's okay. Because here's the thing. If Trump were the one who had been assassinated and Charlie Kirk were speaking, that quote would not be different by a single word, knowing those two men as much as we do. Now, the president bounced around between honoring Kirk and promoting his own political agenda. He said, for example, an announcement was coming on Monday about autism, which, trust me, will not be rooted in medical science. He talked about sending troops to Chicago, yes, at a memorial service. He talked about the tariffs he'd slapped on foreign countries, the reasons why prices are higher than they were last year when he was promising to lower prices on day one. Remember that? And as he kept getting more political, people were leaving the arena by the hundreds. He told all of the usual lies. Anyone who opposes him must be a, quote, paid agitator. He said he was sicking the Department of Justice on a so-called, quote, network of radical left maniacs who fund, organize, fuel, and perpetuate political violence, end quote. Keep in mind, he dismantled the part of the Department of Justice that was going after the real cause of political violence in this country, of course, coming from the far right. After all, how many of the January 6th insurrectionists are now hiding behind those masks in those deportation raids? There was a great effort by Trump and the others to turn Charlie Kirk into some kind of a martyr, maybe even a saint. Make no mistake, he was neither. And frankly, the window has closed on any chance that Charlie Kirk will be remembered fondly. Here's why. If his murder had come without the vitriol from Donald Trump and the promises of vengeance from people like Derek Van Orden, then maybe in a quieter environment, there would have been time for people who didn't know Charlie Kirk to get some kind of whitewashed version of the things he said and the things he stood for. But the bloodthirsty rhetoric and the shrieking bombast coming from Trump and Vance and Van Orden and some of the speakers in Phoenix only ensured that more Americans are going to make sure that Charlie Kirk's legacy does not get the undeserved opportunity to be romanticized. We've already illustrated the parallels between Derek Van Orden and another Wisconsin demagogue, Joseph McCarthy. In a similar fashion, what happened in Phoenix on Sunday was reminiscent of the rallies that used to be held by Father Charles Coughlin against the policies of President Franklin Roosevelt. Charles Coughlin was the Rush Limbaugh of his time, with a national radio audience in the tens of millions. He used the term social justice, but his positions are more in line with what was being seen in the rise of fascism around the world. Eventually, the man whose angry views were for a time embraced in big audiences on the radio and at rallies was seen for what he was and is now mostly forgotten. That will be Charlie Kirk. Those of us who've known of his words and his work for years before most Americans, we will help keep the history books on the straight and narrow. And the rally in Phoenix may as well have been held behind a wall. We'll have Dr. Kristen Lyerly coming up and today's history lesson all in just a moment. First, the Midwest Farm Report here across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north. We'll be right back.
Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
Soon the roads are going to be filled with trucks, tractors, and various other agricultural machinery as harvest moves into full swing. But that may also create some new obstacles on the roads. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, and here with tips on how to safely maneuver around farm equipment is Lieutenant Bill Berger with the Wisconsin State Patrol.
When you're coming on some of these town and county highways, you know, you run into more hills and things like that where visibility might not be as good as on a state or federal highway. Just be aware of that potential, that blind hill. There might be something on the other side of it to be preparing for before you even see it or know it's there. Just be conscious of those type of things. Something else to be concerned with is just be looking for the slow moving vehicle signs, the SMVs.
Lieutenant Bill Berger, along with us from the Wisconsin State Patrol, he also reminds us that the stopping time for large farm equipment is much longer than typical vehicles due to their weight, so be mindful of that. Find the full conversation with Lieutenant Berger at MidwestFarmReport.com. I've got more agribusiness news coming your way.
At the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, they know your business has always been something special. Now you can let customers know it too, in an instant, with the red and yellow Something Special from Wisconsin sticker. Joining the program gives you access to supplier and distribution information, marketing support, and a community of like-minded Wisconsin businesses. Best of all, you'll let people know that your work is done with care, quality, and love. You've always been something special. Visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to make it official.
Dairy producers across the nation, start your engines. The road to Madison leads straight to the World Dairy Expo 2025, where innovation, education, and global dairy connections await. Join fellow dairy producers, industry experts, future leaders, and the finest dairy cattle in North America when the dairy industry meets in Madison, Wisconsin, September 13th through October 3rd. Make the drive and be part of the dairy event of the year. World Dairy Expo 2025, the road to Madison starts with you. Map your trip today at worlddairyexpo.com.
A new proposal in the Wisconsin legislature could make it easier for young farmers to get their start. State Representative Clint Moses is co-authoring a bill that would create a free statewide database connecting retiring farmers and landowners with beginning producers looking for land. The program would be run through the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection's Farm Center, helping to keep farmland in agriculture, not development. Representative Moses is a beef cattle farmer himself, and he says this bill is all about preserving Wisconsin's farming future. You can find the story at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some patchy fog possible early, otherwise more clouds than sun, with an isolated shower or storm possible late in the afternoon, highs in the mid-70s. Again tonight, an isolated shower or storm, otherwise mostly cloudy, a mild night with lows near 60. Right now, it's 64 degrees.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Allball Show.
Talk about overall mental health, how we cope with this nonstop, overwhelming news. Tom, thanks for calling. What's it?
Nobody can do push-ups indefinitely. But bring this back to mental health, and suddenly we feel able to pound through this without taking any kind of a break. And it's just not the way that it works. So do any action that takes you away from whatever it is that you're stressing out. Go for a walk. Get a drink of water. Read a book.
The Todd Allball Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by Professor Howard Schwaber of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We discuss what went down on Friday at the CDC and what that portends for expertise in America. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Today's history lesson begins with a factual error, courtesy of Earth, Wind, and Fire. Today is not. That was last night, but we're off the 21st night of September, and so we just thought we'd throw that out there from this Earth, Wind, and Fire song from 1978. Why did they pick the 21st night of September? They said, no reason.
Just
the line
well.
Just sounded good. Yeah. Yep. Just for fun.
I was definitely singing that song all day yesterday. Because it makes people happy.
I am sure you were. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here now.
It's a good vibe.
Because if there's somebody that's liable to sing in a car for a long drive, it's her.
Or Marcelina Heller, who is
here as well now. So who also makes her share of long drives. So
yeah, I do.
Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you all here. It's funny. I could have gone with that based on the calendar. I could have just as easily gone with we're doing the TV debuts, and if ever there were a theme song that would have worked, it would have been this one from a show that debuted on this day in 1994. Anybody remember the group? Kristen clapping just like you. That'd be the Rembrandts, who I guess had already broken up at that point and then realized they could make more money if they got back together now that one of their songs had been picked up by NBC for this new TV show that debuted 31 years ago today.
Convenient.
Good morning, Whiskers. Nice to see you taking up the entire camera again.
Yeah, he just got a bath last night. He's really soft and smells really good.
Let's see, TV debuts. Let me go in reverse order here. 1999 on this day, The West Wing debuted on NBC. 1987, Full House debuted on ABC.
That's that old?
1987, yeah.
Could we reboot The West Wing?
Could we reboot The West Wing? It has been kind of rebooted if your algorithm is set up in such a way. Because that's my TikTok is like, it's West Wing clips all the time. And it's fun getting to the point where I'm like, I don't know if I watched those ones, you know? I mean, I definitely watched seasons 1 through 4, but I may have missed some of the later ones here.
So I'd love to see your algorithm, Pat.
Yep.
It's all Get Ready With Me and YouTube, West Wing.
Get ready.
Let's see. 1982 marked the NBC premiere of Family Ties with Michael J. Fox. Now we're really going back. And I'll give you one more. Charlie's Angels debuted on ABC this day in 1976.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you watch the movie reboots with like Drew Barrymore and Lucy
Cameron
Liu
Diaz?
And Cameron Diaz?
No.
Did not? Okay.
No.
I really liked the first. I did. The first one was very campy. I liked it. Then it kind of went off the deep end after that.
I remember arguing with my friends in grade school about which angel I was.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm because your you know hair it was darker.
Like well it was like a boy band thing, you know, like you identified with one of them, so it was like, well, am I more Brie, like more smart and practical, or more like, you know, like Farrah Fawcett's character who had the cool car and the hair? These were complicated issues.
These are the important questions in life.
Your questions were like, which one are you? And ours were more in the, you know, Ginger versus Marianne, you know, Betty versus Veronica, Monica, you know, okay. Anyway. Let's see. Does anybody have a birthday that they would want to wish a happy birthday to coming up or just had one?
My son's girlfriend's birthday was yesterday, which is part of the reason that I was singing that song all day long because I kept calling her and bugging her. Happy birthday,
ready?
Rachel.
Are you ready?
All right. Well, here you go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
What's your girlfriend's name?
Rachel.
Dear Rachel. The reason that's there is that it was on this day 10 years ago in 2015 that the Happy Birthday song's copyright was ruled no longer valid, putting the song into the public domain. And I remember that well for the first like decades of our radio career. You know, you could not just play the Happy Birthday song willy-nilly because it was licensed like anything else.
Oh, I've got another one. Can I shout out another birthday?
Sure.
Mrs. Marnie Sanderfoot, who teaches special ed at Kakana High School on September 20th. It was her birthday.
My sister's was. Mine is this week. How about that?
Wait, yours is this week?
Well, there we go.
Burying the lead here. Okay. And so when?
Saturday.
Okay. All right. Saturday. Look at that.
She can't make a live appearance for it. Dang it.
I know.
No, I can.
We don't know your age. We're not going to ask. I just know it's not as old as Tony Basil because today is her birthday and she's 82 years old today.
What?
Yeah.
That's impossible. She's always in high school.
This will never be in high school.
This does not sound like an 82-year-old.
No, does not. But she'd
I wonder what she sounds like.
She'd been performing a long time, doing a lot of choreography mostly, things like that. I remember seeing a story about her a couple of years back, still very active. Yeah.
Whoa.
Let's see. David Coverdale is 74 years old today. He fronted Deep Purple from 1973 to 1976 and then formed his own band, Whitesnake. Again, David Coverdale is 74 today.
Does this make you want to, like, dance on the hood of somebody's car?
Again, we're coming back to characters that you know, are associated with, perhaps so. Happy birthday to Debbie Boone. She is 69 years old today and had the hit of 1977.
Nice.
So many nights I'd sit by.
We're not like, holding this all the way through. You Light Up My Life, but that's the song if you're not familiar with it.
Oh, if there was an audio definition of the word schmaltz, that would be it.
That would be it, yes. Schmaltz. And yet it was number one for like half the year of 1977. Mm-hmm. And that, if anybody goes, how is it that disco was able to make inroads? Well, that's what we were living with, was the mid-decade era of soft rock. And we were ready for anything after that. So disco, come on in through the door. By the way, Debbie Boone's dad, Pat Boone, who we've mentioned frequently on this segment, still with us at age 91.
Put out a hard rock album to counter all the soft rock.
Well, yeah, hard rock, whatever. Andrea Bocelli, the Italian singer-songwriter, is 67. Joan Jett was born the same day. She is 67 years old today. Do you think you were more of a Joan Jett person or a Tony Basil person, you know, with the poppy, preppy cheerleader stuff, or more Joan Jett?
I think I was probably more Tony Basil, but I wanted to be more Joan Jett.
Joan Jett had joined the music scene as a guitarist for an all-girl punk band called The Runaways, and later would form Joan Jett and the Blackhawks. Black Hearts, I'm sorry. Their debut album was turned down by the first 23 record labels they approached, even though it included this song, which would become a number two hit.
She was like 14 or 15 when she joined the Runaways. I mean, they were children.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Ah. Babies. Let's see. On this day in 1975, Sarah Jane Moore tried to assassinate President Gerald Ford. And this was only 17 days after Lynette Squeaky Fromm also fired a gun at Gerald Ford. Both missed. Moore was an accountant, Sarah Jane Moore, and said she wanted to spark a violent revolution to bring change to America. She was given a life sentence. She was released from prison at the end of 2007 after serving 32 years. She is still around at age 95, Sarah Jane Moore, whose claim to fame happened 50 years ago today. On this day in 2003, during the auditions for the third season of American Idol, we got to meet somebody named William Hung.
Oh, boy.
Cheap bags, cheap bags. Oh, baby, when she moves, I go crazy because she looks like a fly, but she stings like a bee, like every girl in history.
A very lively but still finally bad rendition of the Ricky Martin hit. And you sometimes you hear something and you go, I think the producers just killed their own show with that. And
that helped the show a lot.
I was totally wrong. People just, they loved, couldn't get enough.
Made you smile.
It did. Yeah. So there you go. Let's see, on a more serious political note here, it was on this day 6 years ago that a U.S. intelligence officer made an official complaint about a call made by then-President Donald Trump to the Ukrainian president. Trump acknowledged on this day that he did talk about withholding American military aid in an extortion bid to get Volodymyr Zelensky to investigate Joe Biden's son, Hunter. Why did the intelligence officer report this call? Because it was wrong. It was criminal activity, and Congress impeached him for it, but enough Senate Republicans got him off the hook because they chose to condone criminal extortion against a nation under attack. In a somewhat related note, on this day in 1970, President Richard Nixon requested 1,000 new FBI agents to surveil college campuses. All right, let's get to the national day calendar today. Of course, we got the fall equinox. We mentioned that coming up later this afternoon. Today is National Ice Cream Cone Day.
Yes.
So that's a good day.
Go around the horn here. Ice cream cones, you get one flavor. What are you getting, Selena?
Ooh, probably I would like a mint Oreo.
Mint Oreo, Parker?
Do we get toppings?
No, it's an ice cream cone. What's going in the cone?
Well, all right, fine. We'll just do vanilla.
Oh, really?
Parker giving the most Parker answer. Yeah, right.
Sure. You have to wonder, at what point am I just leaning into it?
Yep. Uh-huh. Kristen?
Oh, that's hard. You know, it's always, I'm that person who stands in front of the counter and just can't make a decision, but I do love it.
I'm getting
a good
that impression
Oreo.
Now, yes. So what
so what let's are we talk going about with? The cone. I mean, is it a cake cone?
That's
is
a
it
point.
A waffle cone?
Does it have I got the chocolate 9 o'clock if you want to wait to answer this thing. I mean,
we could
I do
spend
love,
2 hours.
Like, chocolate time. Peanut butter. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a mood thing.
Tony, I'm surprised Parker didn't put lettuce in his cone.
Ew.
Maybe not him.
Oh,
plain. The correct answer, of course, is Häagen-Dazs Belgian chocolate. You'll thank me later. Oh, today okay. is Elephant Appreciation Day and also World Rhinoceros Day. Why does the elephant and the rhino have to share a day? It's a big calendar. I don't know who decides these things. It's apparently National Hobbit Day. Because both Bilbo and Frodo Baggins have birthdays today.
Do we get two breakfasts?
Could be. Yeah. It is still build a better breakfast
about second
month.
Breakfast.
You know how to build a better breakfast? Have two of them.
Okay.
Exactly. Today is Eye Health Week, and it's also Glucose Awareness Week, and it's Rosh Hashanah for the Jewish New Year. So all of that on there. Eye Health or Glucose Awareness. Kristen, you have any words of wisdom from a doctor's standpoint on those?
Yeah, a lot of people do not have healthy glucose levels and don't know it because you can't feel it, which is why it's really important to do your routine preventive care as you get older and have those levels checked. If your glucose is high, we can treat it and we can ward off heart disease and lots of other ugliness down the road. So routine preventive care, my friends. Same thing for eye disease.
Very nice. And Tony puts on YouTube, my kids are hobbits. They always eat first and second breakfast.
There you go.
It fits. And just a little bit, Selena Heller is going to have a story for us about a Wisconsin mom talking about her adult son and what these upcoming drastic cuts to Medicaid would do to his dignity and independence. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-859-3220. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 to 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you. Except he's only on number two.
Call Term Provider at 800-859-3220. That's 800-859-3220. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with. Call Big Lou at 800-859-3220. 800-859-3220.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Hi, my name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires. I'm also the author of a new book, Burned by Billionaires, How Concentrated Wealth and Power are Ruining Our Lives and Planet. This summer proved to all of us that climate change is real and it is deadly. And I'm here to tell you that a small group of billionaires are making it worse. Did you know that billionaire Jeff Bezos' wife, Lauren Sanchez, emitted more carbon in her 11-minute Blue Origin space flight than the average person emits in a lifetime? Did you know that the average super yacht produces as much carbon emissions as 1,500 regular vehicles? And that private jets emit 10 to 20 times more pollutants per passenger than commercial airplanes? So who should pay for climate change? People like you who recycle and turn off the lights when you leave the room, or billionaires who take joyrides in space? Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Again, the Brewers leaving St. Louis and on their way to San Diego for a three-game series. So you've got some later evening baseball starting tonight, 8:05, on several Civic Media stations. Again, they're in San Diego today, tomorrow, and Wednesday afternoon, an off day Thursday, and then back home to play the Cincinnati Reds this next weekend in the final homestand of the regular series. Parker Olson here, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Selena Heller as well on this Monday morning. And the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show can be heard on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday at 3 on WISS in Oshkosh and Appleton. That's 98.3 and 96.5. And Sunday mornings at 9 on WGBW in the Green Bay area. That's 97.9 and 1590 AM. What do we need to know about the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show, Kristen Lyerly?
I should mention, you can find all the old archived episodes on civicmedia.us and wherever you get your podcasts. This week, we have an incredible show coming up. Remember when the Catholic school in Minnesota was one of the victims of a school shooting episode? Mm-hmm. Well, there are hometown ties. One of our friends here in De Pere, her sister, her daughter goes to school there, and they have lived through this terrible tragedy. And so we're taping our episode tonight, and that is going to air this weekend, and it is going to be something else.
Okay. So again, Kristen Lyerly Show. Again, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, be a subscriber there. And Kristen, one thing in the news, and then we'll get some of your own personal professional news. But Alicia sums this up well, and I was going to ask you about this anyway. Alicia putting on YouTube, I'm really worried about this quote-unquote big autism announcement as a mom to an autistic person. And this is, I think, what we're all expecting is that President Trump, not a doctor, and Robert Kennedy Jr., not a doctor, are going to say something about autism and Tylenol and pregnancy that is going to be not supported by evidence. That's where a lot of people are chatting. Kristen, is that where you think this might be going today?
Hey, I have no idea where it's going, but the one thing I do know for sure is, as you said, Pat, neither of these folks are physicians. the medical community, the scientific community has been working on answering this question for years and years, and we don't have an answer yet because it's likely multifactorial. There are likely many reasons that people develop autism. So there isn't one thing, but I can tell you that it is not Tylenol. We do not have a causal relationship that says that Tylenol causes autism. There are some studies that show an association, but an association does not mean that it causes this. And some studies show that there's no association. So if it does come out to show that Tylenol is the culprit, that is certainly not the case. And we need to continue to fund scientific research so that we can come up with some real answers, not just something flashy that politicians want to show us that will scare us and shame families with autism that are frankly just looking for an answer. They're just searching for answers because they're living with this every single day and they deserve better.
So again, we'll follow the announcement and I'm sure we'll have a reaction later today and throughout the course of the week, especially, I would say throughout the week if it's especially quacky, shall we say. But we'll see what develops. And tell the folks your news. You're in St. Louis for the American College of Obstetricians Gynecologists, and you've got yet another job title, all of which get almost no remuneration, but it's nice of you to take on these duties. What's your newest?
Oh, it's so good. This has been a long time coming. Yesterday, I accepted the position of chair for one of the districts of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. That means that I join the executive board and I get to help set the course, the vision for this incredible organization as we move forward. This is the same organization that turned down federal funding because we didn't believe that we could comply with Donald Trump's executive orders that limited our ability to take care of our patients. So it's a visionary organization. We take care and families, and we are so, so proud to continue to do this work on their behalf.
Yeah, and as a district chair, as a member of the National ACOG Executive Board, I mean, they gave you quite the territory. It's the Midwest, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and Peru. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah, I love it, though. I was just talking to my Peruvian colleagues yesterday, and it's so cool to talk with our Manitoban folks and hear what's happening up in Manitoba. What are the parallels and what's happening in Peru? And having been there recently, just to see how their health system works and make comparisons and learn from each other. We have so much to learn from each other, cross borders in the states, cross borders in countries. So this is just another opportunity for us to do better by our patients, regardless of where we live.
All right. Normally, this is the time for Parker's pitch, where he pitches us on what is the big entertainment story of the day. But we'll start. We'll give Selena a head start. Selena, what do you think is the big entertainment story of the day?
Well, over the weekend, Taylor Swift announced that she was having. I have to read this because I'm not a Swiftie, but I had to get tickets for this because there's a small person in my house that is. So Taylor Swift will be returning to the big screen in October. She'll be seen in thousands of theaters, not with a traditional feature film, but with an 89-minute release party event. Taylor Swift, the official release party of a showgirl. So that is coming up October 3rd. And over the weekend, Mycon Cinemas here in town, and they have two theaters, Chippewa Falls and Eau Claire, that were having this movie. And they said, we're going to release the tickets or have tickets starting to be sold at 6 p.m., whatever day. And they had 10,000 people, they said, on their website, and you can get tickets.
That sounds right.
So, cheap. I don't know, Parker. What do you got?
I was just going to say that Bad Bunny and Amy Poehler and Sabrina Carpenter are the first three SNL hosts. I think I lose. I think that wins.
You said Bad Bunny, Sabrina Carpenter, and who?
Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler. Yeah, I love Amy Poehler. She's
love Amy Poehler. Okay. She's like a Kristen clone. The two of them could definitely co-anchor Weekend Update together.
We both have that Leslie Knope vibe.
Yes, exactly. Hey, Selena's going to be back in just a bit to talk to us about Medicaid cuts and the impact on one gentleman, his dignity and his independence, as explained by his mom. We'll have that story, more with Kristen Lyerly, and then we have State Senator Kelda Royes joining us at 7:35 to talk about the run for governor. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
soaring high above lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump's been pressuring the Justice Department to bring criminal charges against his political opponents. ABC's Rachel Scott says over the weekend, the president addressed a message on social media to PAM, meaning Attorney General Pam Bondi, in which he wrote, "Something must be done."
Adding, "We can't delay any longer. It's killing our reputation and credibility. Justice must be served now." President Trump calling for cases against Democratic Senator Adam Schiff, former FBI Director James Comey, and New York Attorney General Letitia James.
Today, the president's expected to make an announcement on autism, and the Washington Post is reporting the administration will link Tylenol use in pregnancy to autism. Tylenol's manufacturer says science shows the drug is safe. Tens of thousands celebrated the life and work of Charlie Kirk at a memorial for the conservative activist in Arizona. And the UK and Australia said they'll recognize a Palestinian state, angering Israel as the UN General Assembly begins. This is ABC News.